Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it.
Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
Of course, this is your boy Sam. What's going on, people?
Hey, man. Listen, it's a good day. It's been a good weekend to be a Florida State Seminole, man. And we're gonna give y'all a few minutes to get in here. But I'm trying to figure out what's your problem with Scottie Pippen, man. What Scottie Pippen did to you?
So I was gonna say that for the big what if at the end. But yeah, we can get into it. I actually don't even have a problem with Scottie Pippen. I really don't. Like, I think Scottie Pippen was a great defensive player. I think he was a great. Okay, I think he was a great two-way guard. I think Scottie did a lot of great things. You know what I'm saying? I think that you guys are overrating Scottie Pippen. I think Scottie Pippen is overrating himself. I think Scottie Pippen, I don't think Scottie Pippen is better than T-Mac. I don't think Scottie Pippen better than Paul Pierce. I don't remember any great Scottie Pippen moments in the playoff where he's knocking game-winning shots down. Steve Kerr has more game-winning shots. John Paxson has more bigger moments at playoff games than Scottie Pippen. I think he was Jordan homeboy. He got put on a USA All-American team, USA team, despite Isaiah Thomas being a better player than him. He got put as a top 50 player when Dominique Wilkins wasn't even a top 50 player when they named it the top 50 players in 1997. Jordan just took care of Scottie Pippen. And to be honest with you, Scottie Pippen probably didn't deserve a fucking shoe deal either, if we just being real about everything. So I just think that y'all overrated Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was a great, great Rodman to Michael Jordan's Justice League, right? He was a great Rodman to Michael Jordan's Justice League. Y'all have overrated Scottie Pippen. And it's okay. It's okay. Like, if you draft anybody else next to Michael Jordan that was just a competent, good player, I think he still wins championship. I think Scottie Pippen didn't have a lot of ego.
You know, Michael Jordan disagrees though. Michael Jordan said he don't win it. He don't win him without Scottie.
Right, right. He always talked. He always talked great shit about Scottie Pippen. He always went out of his way to be nice about Scottie.
You don't think they was before them years they was putting people next to Jordan thinking that they could win?
Who?
That's my point exactly.
I'm saying, nobody. Like, if you gave Jordan, I'm trying to figure out a good
Horace Grant.
No, he was winning with Horace Grant at the same time Scottie Pippen.
I know. I'm saying, but had Pippen not been there, you just had Horace.
I think Scottie mentality fit Michael Jordan better than probably anybody you could put next to him, right? Scottie knew his role, right? He knew his limitations. He knew what he was. You know what I'm saying? He was a more athletic Draymond Green that could probably score a little bit more. If we just being honest, bro, like, I think y'all overdoing the Scottie Pippen shit. Like, I think everybody overthinking it. And, like, I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying Scottie's not good. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he didn't have top 50? No. No. Like, wow. if you redo the top 50 right now, right? If you redo the top 50 right now, is he better than AI?
No.
Okay, is he better than, you got AI, Trace McGrady. I guess y'all keep saying he's better,
better than Trace McGrady.
I don't think he's better than Trace McGrady, but whatever. I let everybody cook on that. I don't think that's true. Paul Pierce had more better.
He better than Paul Pierce.
He had better playoff moments than Paul Pierce. Had way better playoff moments than fucking Scottie.
Paul Pierce was the one. Paul Pierce was the option, was the number one option on that team.
Right, so, and Scottie, when Jordan was retired, Scottie was number one option. He refused to go in the game. Matter of fact, the coach even told
you. He sounded like Kevin Durant.
That's a bad moment, and he should have did it, but at the end of the day.
But they was in the position. Right. Kevin Durant wasn't even in the position to be able to have it, to not go in the game.
What you talking about? Kevin Durant just played in the finals right now. They went in the finals that game. They went in the finals. They was in the first round. I'm talking about The Bulls was in like the first or second round. They got beat by the Knicks when he refused to go in the game.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, he did the same thing KD did. No. They both made it to the same to the same spots.
No, bro. And,
I mean,
Kevin Durant is a way better player than Scottie Pippen. Bro.
He's I don't even. I agree with that.
Okay, that's not debatable. I think
Scottie Pippen is a very easy punching bag because he played next to the GOAT, and because of the stuff that happens in his personal life.
No, I think Scottie want to sell his bourbon. I think Scottie want to sell his bourbon. I think Scottie want to sell his books. Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
he is talking crazy.
Like, dude, Scottie Pippen compare himself to LeBron James, bro. You know how ridiculous that is?
That's silly. Again, I'm not telling you. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that Scottie Pippen says a lot of smart things. Scottie Pippen has said a lot of dumb things.
Right.
I mean, a lot of dumb things. I don't think any of the dumb things he said diminishes the fact that he was, like you said, fifth in MVP voting three different times.
Okay.
The fact that he was, but that means you are one of the five best players in the NBA for at least three seasons.
Okay. When
Tracy McGrady wasn't that. He was never the five best players in the league.
You don't think Tracy McGrady had 3 or 4 years he was the fifth, he was like at least top five best players in Orlando? You don't think so?
Nah.
Bro,
I see, but I don't think.
You wild.
I don't, listen,
you wild, bro.
I,
okay,
maybe I give. Maybe because he was injury prone, and I know, like, you know what I mean. I know injured Tracy McGrady. I don't really give him very much. So maybe my dislike for Tracy McGrady is more is overpowering.
Wow.
But I don't think
y'all tough. Man.
I believe Tracy McGrady was decent. I just think he was better than Scottie Pippen.
If we're gonna talk about this later on in the show about the whatever, but if you put Tracy McGrady next to another great player, him and Kobe are probably rivals in the NBA for at least 7 years. He never
that,
had
that would a, mean you believe he's on Kobe's level and LeBron's level. I know for a fact Tracy McGrady ain't Kobe and what's his name,
who
ain't Kobe or LeBron.
Even Kobe said that Tracy McGrady is one of the hardest people
he ever
had.
That's his cousin, man.
All right. Now, see, there we go. See, now everybody, that we picking.
That's his cousin, man. Of course I'm going to say the hardest. He also said Carmelo was the toughest dude he had to guard, too. And ain't nobody believe that either.
Carmelo was a tough guard.
Yeah, because he was strong and he would lean on her and all sorts of stuff. I hear what you're saying. I heard.
McGrady had a hell of a run when it was like McGrady, Kobe, AI, Shaq. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else?
That was a good little run.
I can't think of it. KG was up there. Tim Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he was a fringe top five, top four player in the NBA for like at least 3 years. Easy. Then he won a scoring title 1 year.
I don't know. Well, I know.
I gotta pull up on my greatest stats.
Please pull up your McGrady stats. It ain't gonna change. It ain't gonna change the fact that you have somehow decided that apparently Scottie Pippen is a rich man's Draymond Green. And at this point, I think we've moved into a level of disrespect when it came to Scottie Pippen. Because to say that, to put him and Draymond Green in the same sentence is wild.
I think when you talk about Scottie, I think Scottie was a great player. He's a great number two. I mean, he got a lot of things gifted to him because that was Michael Jordan's homeboy. I mean, he got on the USA team because Michael Jordan's his homeboy. I mean, he shouldn't have been on that team over Isaiah Thomas. Let's just be real. That's just being real.
No, who shouldn't have been on the team over Isaiah Thomas was Christian Laettner.
Well, they had to put a college player on the team. Christian Laettner shouldn't have got in over Shaq.
Listen, he should not have gotten in over Isaiah Thomas.
But Isaiah Thomas
was a better player.
Right,
but we all knew what happened with the Isaiah Thomas situation.
Right,
so, I mean,
right.
You can't
but I'm just saying. But that's Jordan Boyd. Jordan made sure to acknowledge Scottie Pippen, right?
Not enough for Scottie to feel. Scottie felt disrespected.
For Scottie to sell bourbons, I get that.
I'm
part.
Just telling Scottie saw the documentary and felt disrespected.
What in the documentary wasn't true? He did have headaches in big games. He did not want to go in games and say his back was hurt. This shit really happened in real time. We can't rewrite fucking history.
And he also locked down whoever's other team's best defender
If we want to have a real honest conversation, there's a real honest conversation about great players and the standard they set. Michael Jordan won the Defensive Player of the Year. Michael Jordan actually was a fucking great defensive player, too.
Nobody said he wasn't.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
This ain't got nothing to do with.
But my thing is, it ain't like people keep acting like, oh, well, Scottie was locking all these and Scottie led the. No, like Michael Jordan was a great defensive player. Dennis Rodman was a transcendent defensive player. Like, it ain't like he was doing something nobody else was doing. Like, Scottie was a great player. He's Tony Allen, but taller. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be, like, crazy disrespectful, but y'all making me get there. But it's like, yo, he got over the top 50 over Dominique Wilkins that year. Now, 1997, they named the top 50 players. He was in over Dominique Wilkins. Like, that's kind of insane to me.
I'm not finna disrespect Dominique Wilkins. I was just getting ready to disrespect Dominique Wilkins. And I'm not. So listen, what I'm gonna do is it's right on 10 minutes. We say we can get everybody 10 minutes. I'm not gonna continue it because I was finna disrespect Dominique Wilkins. I like Dominique as a person. And you should have won a slam dunk.
Look at this right here. Look at this. Look, 8-8-8-6-3 say to put this up here. And he's right. And he is right. Was never a top five player in the league. Barkley, Shaq, Drexler, Malone, Ewan, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon. Bro.
His was dope. I never said he was a top five player in the league. I said he was top five in MVP voting. No. And being top five
Steve
in MVP voting doesn't.
Steve Nash got two MVPs. Steve Nash has two MVPs
have got those over Kobe.
In the league with Shaq and Kobe was dominating.
I'm just telling you, his play based on the court was top five in the NBA. We can talk about you. I know Ewing and David Robinson, all them dudes was better. I 100% agree with that statement. We don't disagree, though. I'm just telling you, he finished top five in MVP voting. Around Barkley, Shaq, Drexler, Malone, Ewing, David Robinson.
So should Steve Nash be a top 50 player now? Is Steve Nash top 50 player of all time? When you start recalculating everybody?
When you start recalculating everybody, I think a lot of people who we believed in as, you know, dope players are going to be real, going to get their feelings hurt. When they redo that top 50.
And Pippen be one of them.
Pippen will not be one of them. He
will be one of them, bro. You know
Pippen will get in at 40 to 45 range. He will get in at 40 to 45.
You're smoking crap.
Yeah, he's gonna get in from. Bro, well, listen, man.
Look what he did. I'm just gonna say this right here. I'm just gonna say this right here. Cause we got stats with Pippen without Jordan, like when he was at Portland. This really happened.
Oh man, don't give me no Portland numbers, man.
Real life, this really happened.
We not doing that. Pippen.
I want to say this.
Give me the Pippen when they had the best record in the league. Give me them numbers.
Okay. So and this is the thing I'm gonna say. With Jordan, he averaged 17 points. All right? That's with Jordan. He averaged 17 points. Without Jordan, he averaged 15 points. He was the same damn player.
He wasn't, though, and they did that in the documentary. They talked about how he changed his game. No, he wasn't going to be the number one. He wasn't going to be the scorer. He was never a scorer.
Man, let me tell you something, man. And we're going to talk about this, but if they make that trade with Tracy McGrady goes to Chicago for Pippen, and it's Tony Kukoc, Tracy McGrady, Dennis Rodman, Phil Jackson. I think we have a whole different conversation about Scottie Pippen, bro. And a whole different conversation about Tracy McGrady.
We're going to talk about it. I ain't even going to give my opinion. We're going to talk about it.
All right, we get it.
We're definitely going to talk about it. That's the what if for later on. But listen, man, we got good news, man. We in a great mood, man, because let me tell you, we getting people. First of all, before we even dive into it, let me first issue an apology. I told you I don't mind coming in and telling people when it's different. Marv got off the board. I mean, got on the board, got off the bench and got on the board. I appreciate that. And then them two claps for the furniture. Getting off the bench and on the board. And then of course we already know what Atkins do. So I don't even expect nothing less. He always gets the respect, so I ain't even going to trip. But unless you, ain't on Twitter or ain't on Facebook or whatever it is, understand that four recruits, I believe. We got four recruits over the last 2 days, last 24 to 48 hours. And we not done yet. You know what I mean? And we not done yet. We were very hard on Mike because we said, man, where are the commitments? We got a lot of people. It's a whole lot of bodies. But where's the results? And now we're seeing the results. And I think that's super dope. You know what I mean? So, Sam, man, I'm gonna let you take it. But for me, thank you to the furniture for grabbing some big-time recruits. Thank you to, Coach Marv. Keep bringing them in. Keep going.
All right. So, I guess. My big thing would be, I'm not going to be a David Downer. I'm going to say this is great news. This is all good stuff. You know what I'm saying? Feeling like the bottom of the class up. A lot of these guys that they're getting, I think, is pretty much in range with where we are and where we at. You know what I'm saying? So that's a good thing. I want to see a higher level of recruit, but I think where we are, this kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
You don't believe the rankings? I mean, you don't believe these legit four stars?
Well,
Sean Sapp is a four star.
I think Sapp is.
They got Bob. Bob was a few. He was also a four star.
I think Sapp is an instant impact guy. A guy that'll play in year two, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Bishop Thomas might need a year or two, maybe 3 years, maybe 2.5 years, maybe to really contribute. Omar Graham Jr., I don't know what he is yet. I mean, is he a middle linebacker, a true middle linebacker, or is he an outside like Melvin Ingram type? You know what I'm saying?
He's a body, and at this point, you need one momentum. We talked about this earlier. I believe you need momentum, and I believe you need players. And so, players are getting other players to come. You are seeing results, and that's what I believe they needed. At this point, I think they got two 4 stars and 2 3-stars in the last, 2 weeks. Two 4 stars and 3 3-stars. Man, sign me up for that. You know what I mean? Especially when you're telling me your top of your class is Travis Hunter, Sam McCall, and AJ Duffy. If you tell me that's the top of your class, hey man, I'm with that. You know what I mean? And T will say, what's up, T Will? T will say, Graham Wiley is wildly underrated. I don't know. We'll find out a whole lot more. I think when we look at it before the season, everybody has their rankings. And what we see is a lot of players show up that senior year and those rankings change. So in the event that Graham go out and ball out like, some people think he is, that ends up being a good 4-star, solid commitment, day one starter. And you need, like I said, you need day one starters. Not to mention they currently are top 5 in recruiting. They're kicking everything from Miami and from Florida, and both of them had better seasons than Florida State, and one of them beat you.
Right. But we know that Miami and Florida can't take the type of classes that we're going to be able to take this year because of COVID and players coming back. So they got to be way more selective. So I don't think a lot of these schools that didn't have all this attrition like we had are going to have to slow play to get the right 10 or 12, maybe 14 kids, because I don't think they're going to be able to take 21, 22 kids like we are. I'm not
hating.
I'm just saying what it is. I'm just saying like we're gonna take a bigger class than a lot of these.
Absolutely, we
That's
are.
All I'm saying. So you could take guys right now. Like Miami and Florida are gonna have to be a little bit more selective. So I mean that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I'm not even listen to me. I know you're not hating. I'm just saying, at this present moment, I have talked about, is this working? Is this the best strategy? Too many guys. There's a whole bunch of people on campus, but nobody's committing. We got a whole bunch of, information. It looks like a bit of some clown behavior or whatever, and I don't know if these kids is fully in on it. And what's happening is they're getting commits. So for me, I ain't got nothing to say. I don't have nothing negative to say. I don't have nothing bad to say. And at this point, I'm going to just, applaud. Keep it up. You tell me we're not done, get more.
What you think they have before the season? I think they have 14 to maybe 15 commits before the season.
Yeah, I think they get another 2 or 3. I do believe they're not done with the top part of their class. I agree. I think they'll be around. I was gonna say 12. I think they'll have 12 to 13 commitments. I think during the season you probably get a few more, and then I think signing day you add 2 or 3. And I'm talking, it's between us and some big. I think they're gonna win some battles. And the reason why I say that is I don't know if it's really Mike doing. Again, I don't want to take away from Mike me and you had a conversation off Mike, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if the relationship between Travis Hunter and Mike is the best. And then, Travis Hunter came out and sent a message basically saying, I rock with this dude, blah, blah, blah. I would never play for another coach in the world, but, so cool, right? But I think when you put Travis Hunter as – again, the best player in your class by a mile, who is 100% committed. And not only 100% committed, but 100% committed and recruiting for you. it allows the opportunity for any of the top recruits to be like, if he come in here, forget the record, this dude coming. And if he coming, I want to rock with him. I want to play with him.
Right.
I do believe you get a receiver. I do think you get some DBs, and I do think you probably add some more pieces to your offensive line. I think they're in a position right now, especially with the momentum. Mm-hmm. You tell me. Well, I think we saw it was USA Today or whatever, having going like 5.5 wins, plus or minus whatever, 5.5 wins.
Right.
They go plus on that. They go 6 wins. All right, that's where they were supposed to be at. They lost to the teams they were supposed to lose to. They don't have the talent yet. I think you can absolutely sell that as positive momentum. You can recruit well. You keep the guys in class, and I think you look at it and say, you're part of this new one. We already turned it around. You can see it. Come be a part of this change. And I think they get a lot of guys. I honestly believe, whereas I thought, regardless of the record, I thought they finished with top 10. I can see them finishing top 5. I can see them finishing top 5 ahead of some people who we wouldn't have expected them to finish ahead of, especially coming off a 3-6 season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think they finished. Hold on, you said they're going to finish what?
6. I think they gave 6 wins. It was 5.5.
I think you're talking about recruiting. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I was saying 6 wins. No, I mean, what'd you say, 21? I give them 18. I think they get 12, 9, another 6 throughout, you know, the season, maybe 3 on signing day.
I like them to get about, I think they're going to bring in about 22 kids, 23 kids.
Then they definitely ain't done yet right now.
Right. So I think they bring in 23 kids, and I think they leave 3 scholarships for
transfers
next year. But I think the most important thing is
23 bodies automatically gets you top 10.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. That's why.
Just based on sheer volume, volume, you get top 10 with 23. Right.
They don't have to be as selective as these other schools because they have more scholarships. That's all I'm saying. Like, they have more scholarships. So the sheer volume of the class.
But I don't think they're just taking people just to take them. I think you can take a flyer. I think you can take a flyer on a kid who may be on, like, you know what I mean?
But there are levels to recruiting. We know this. There are levels, right? Right? You got like top 25 kids, top 50 kids, right? Then you got a top 100. Mm-hmm. You got a top 200.
Then you got top 300, yeah.
All right. Now, we currently, the kids that we grabbing are, like, in the 400 the 300 range.
Say that universally though.
I think you can say
we have taken some kids.
I'm not saying that to be a hater. I'm just like, go look at it. I'm not making this up. Like, go look at the numbers, right? So so they recruiting those, they can take those kids because they have room. They gotta replenish the bottom of the roster, right? The bottom of the roster is not good right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't even have competitive practices the way you want to have them because the bottom of your roster is not very good, right? So you could take a Kion Charlton, right?
You can take a legit 3-star, probably not day one starter, probably 2 year, you know, get some PT, 2-3 years, he become in.
Look at Charlton,
but that's a solid player though, right? And that's what I'm saying. Solid players.
But if you look,
this roster is bad.
If you look at Charlton, he's gonna drop 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
35 pounds maybe. And he got to reshape his body a little bit. That's going to take a little bit of time, right?
And
that's fine, right? Nobody's hating on that.
Yeah, that's a practice player. Yeah, that's a good – but like you said, now we can go good on good.
Right.
While we're reshaping his body, we don't have a turnstile out there who you can't even figure out what you got on the other side because you have no idea. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you got this dude looking great in practice.
Yeah, but Miami – don't have room to take a player like that, right? Because they already got that player on the roster who's not leaving because he got an extra year because of COVID. You get what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying it's a numbers game. Yeah, it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game.
They got some guys. In other words, Miami can't put this guy on their board because they don't have the numbers to take him. And so now Florida State is going to benefit from not being able, getting a solid player and being able to benefit. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Right.
I do. I wanted you to clarify because, again, it ain't me and you talking. I know where you stand. You know, I know where you stand. And I know, you know, I don't want it to be like, you know, oh, man, no guys on here. How they going to, you know, poo-poo on the recruiting that they've done. No, and that's what I was saying. Clarify what you're saying. It's a numbers game.
Yeah. And I'm saying, like, and if you're going to take these type of players, right, like Kenyon Charlton and Omar Graham. I mean, look at the areas you're taking it from. Fort Lauderdale, Brunswick, Georgia, you know, Bishop Thomas from Orlando, Mm-hmm. Like, those are good areas to grab. Guy that you believe in 2 or 3 years are going to be good. Exactly. They help you recruit later.
Good pedigree, yeah, right. Later, good, right? Pedigree, so, builds pipelines. Yeah, rebuilds, right, pipelines, because, right, right. I think you've always had them. And then, you know, when you're a new coach, you came in, you didn't have those guys, and now you got, like you said, the infrastructure behind the scenes now working to build those pipelines and stuff like that. Now you can get into rooms with some of these coaches and players and teams and cities that you weren't able to get into before last year. And so now, yeah, and so now, hey, keep throwing bodies at it. I'm with it. So, yeah, continue to throw bodies at the problem. And if you tell me he ain't starting tomorrow, but if you can add 4 or 5 guys who starting tomorrow, you know what I mean, who starting day one, and then you got a whole bunch of solid guys who, you know, by the time sophomore, junior, now we talking about something completely different. You know what I mean? You talking about a completely different team. 2-3 years from now. Yeah, he's on a completely different team 2-3 years from now.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to poo-poo him. I'm just saying, sure, like,
by that general, time, you think about A.J. Duffy leading the class. He a junior at that time. You, right, you know,
now
who knows?
All these guys.
Yeah, yeah, now you all your developmental guys here, your day one starters, the superstars. You got, that's what Jimbo built. You know what I mean? That's what Jimbo built into a national championship team. Now, can Mike coach it like to that level? Or can, you know, the coaches that's currently on the staff coach to that level? Remains to be seen. But at this present moment, I like the direction. One thing about it is, man, Mike has self-corrected an issue from year one. And that's 100% correct. That's like he was able to, when we talked about it, address the offseason, address the off-field and some of that behind-the-scenes stuff so that, hey, you got to get in these rooms. You got to get in rooms with these people. Because if you don't have no inroads to the people right in your back door, you're going to have a problem. It's going to be tough for him. And I think he figured it out very quickly and then corrected immediately. And now I think we're seeing the results.
Right. And I think when you look at the class, the thing that I'm more excited about is Quayshon Sapp, Alu Ball. I mean, those are two tackles. Those are two true tackles, right?
So two legit big body tackles.
And then you add in with Rod Orr, who's coming in this year.
Yeah.
I mean, and then if you can grab you another tackle this year, I mean, that's 4 tackles.
You got you a line. Yeah, you got you a line. Right. Not a serviceable line. Not like an average line, like, oh, well, hopefully they piece it together. You got Wisconsin offensive line. You know what I mean? You got you a legit offensive line. Because these are legit, like you said, you got real tackles. Not a guard who might be swinging out the tackle. Not somebody who's kind of on the fringe, who don't have the body, don't know the position. You got guys who can come in immediately and know, hey, I'm playing tackle. You know what I mean? And now, all right, I've protected my quarterback. I've now set up Duffy to not have the same problems that the current quarterbacks on the roster, you know, outside of McKenzie Milton, have had where you, you know, seeing ghosts. You know what I mean? Because you don't know where them people coming from. Now A.J. Duffy gets to develop behind some real tackles. He ain't got a scramble. Now we really get to see what he can do.
Right, right. And, I mean, yeah, I think this all is setting up good for the future. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ideally, when you're at Florida State, you probably want to take a class. If you got 25, if you take 23 players or 22 players, ideally you want 15 that you feel like can come on campus and
start
playing and start practicing. Yeah. You know, you can put them in a rotation as far as practice, and hopefully they see the game by they start playing the game by year five. I mean, by game six, game seven, mm-hmm, right?
I mean,
with this class in particular, I think we got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. I see 6 players right now, maybe 7, that I say that, yeah, okay, they got an opportunity.
And I think they add at least 2 more day one starters. Yeah, I believe they add at least 2 more day one starters.
Right.
Not even rotation. But I'm talking about, I think, got, 2 one starters.
You still got Julian Armello, the legacy offensive lineman also.
And what's his name? The other legacy,
Marvin Jones Jr.
Yeah, Shane Tristan. Right.
If you can wrap the class with those, if you can get those two, I don't care what you do with the rest of it. But if you get those two in the fold, I would say that's a pretty successful recruiting season.
That ain't a pretty successful recruiting season. Again, think about it. All of it's from a sliding scale, right? It's all from a coach who didn't have any ties, who corrected in one season, coming off a 3-6 year, while your rivals are beating you. While your rivals are performing better. I would say that's not a kind of good class, man. That's almost unheard of. Cause I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't think he could do it. Like, you know, I thought he was facing too many challenges to be able to overcome them as quickly as possible. I figured he needed at least another year of developing some inroads, and we hadn't seen it. You know what I mean? And then with COVID, I think it kind of pushed it back a little bit. I believe, and this is just me, and I don't believe they're like Miami. I believe these commitments are strong. You know what I mean? I don't think these are wavering commitments. I don't think these are guys who are, you know, whatever it is. And maybe we talked about it, you know, maybe them telling those guys, nah, go see them other schools. You know what I mean? Go see those other schools. And then when you're ready to commit, come back to us. You know what I mean? I think that kind of sets them up for a very solid class. I don't think you end up with a lot of decommitments when they've done it that way. So again, I'm here to tell you, you know, I don't mind being wrong. You know what I mean?
I think that if this
is how they're doing it and it works, go for it.
Well, when you talk about how they're recruiting now, I think that in some ways COVID did them a lot of favors also, because I think with COVID, you able to, you know, transition more kids off the team also to give you more
without room. Penalty. Yeah.
Right. And now, and also with COVID, it worked in your benefit because those keep some guys had to
no
keep
years.
A lot of players.
Yeah. No right? years.
So they can't bring in a lot of recruits either. So I think COVID has had a lot. I think he was going to have a bad season last year regardless. You know, I said that.
Oh, yeah, COVID yeah. And happened, I think it would have gotten worse as well. I think COVID saved them from, you know, Clemson and Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Would have been two even. I mean, again, three and six look a whole lot better than three and nine, three and ten. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah, you 3-6 is bad. 3-8 looks even worse.
And you was able to blame it on COVID, right?
And you was able to blame it on COVID, right?
Yeah, okay. So I think that a lot of this is – I think a lot of the COVID things, the COVID talks, I think are kind of, I think they work in our favor more than anything. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. I do like what he's doing. Like I said, if we can keep Atkins and Woodson for another year and a half, man,
I don't know.
This roster will be to a great, great place.
Okay, so here's my question. Why do we feel like we're losing Atkins?
I'm not saying we're losing him. I'm just saying like,
yeah, but like when I I'm not saying it even just to you. I've heard a lot of people say if we can keep him for a few more years, I'm saying where he going? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, bro, if when Florida
coaches,
State
coaches,
it,
man, when, these guys are paid mercenaries, man.
When Florida State is elite, and if they're headed back to elite level, Florida State is a top job. You know what I mean? Like,
let me ask you a question.
He turned out LSU, so where you going, Bama?
But let me ask you a question. When Florida State won a national championship, did you think German Pruitt was going anywhere?
No, but okay. Again, unless you're telling me Atkins is going to be, in other words, he's an offensive line coach, right? So unless you're telling me he's going to head coach somewhere, then okay. I'm not saying where he's headed when we're talking. I'm thinking more lateral. I don't know if Atkins necessarily is some guys are really dope position coaches and they like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. In other words, when he came, nobody was like, man, Atkins on that head coaching track. Maybe he won't to. I don't know. I'm just saying, but I don't remember that being said like it was said about Marv. Marv's on a head coaching path. We understand this is where it is. He may not be here for very long. We knew that about him.
Atkins had pretty good pedigree when everybody's talking about him.
Atkins had pedigree, but I'm saying, was he on that? Were people saying, hey, man, he's trying to be a head coach soon? Well, if he was.
That conversation was real. That's a real conversation. Okay. They were saying he was an offensive coordinator at Charlotte.
Okay.
He was an offensive line coach and coordinator at Charlotte. Offensive coordinator.
Okay.
At
so
Charlotte.
If you want to be an OC, you know what I mean? He want to be the OC at you know, whoever it is. Or you want to be a head coach at, I don't know, I'm trying to think, Miller, Cincinnati or whatever it is. You know, he get off with a Cincinnati head coaching job. I mean, okay. I can see him taking that. I think head coach at Cincinnati and top offensive line coach at Florida State is a lateral move. Maybe not.
I would disagree with that. But
maybe not.
I mean, you're talking about Cincinnati.
Yeah, it is Cincinnati. Maybe I need to find another.
Hold on. Click
on Morning Magnolia's comment real quick. Because that's what I was saying. I think it's very rare for somebody who's gotten to that place without being a head coach, offensive coordinator, or defense coordinator. He's going to go from an O-line coach to the head coach?
But no, I'm saying, though, he would go from an O-line coach to like a head coach at like Georgia Southern.
Now that's lateral or a step down, but not when you're a black coach. Yeah.
Because
maybe you feel like that's the only option. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right. Where else are you going to get? I mean, you got to think about it. Willie went from running back coach at Stanford to head coach at Western Kentucky when the program was about to be like throw it away. They're about to literally get rid of the football program. Right. So that's the type of job you have to take as a black coach.
Okay. Yeah, and I can see that. And maybe he does.
I mean, it's a reason why it's a reason why Tony Elliott is like at Clemson doing what he's doing for as long as he's been doing it.
Well, that's what I mean, right?
There's not
because
a lot
Tony
of great...
Tony Elliott loves what he. But Tony Elliott also makes good money and is happy being the offensive coordinator at Clemson. And what I'm saying is,
he looks for jobs, but he's not finding the right job that's going to give him the success that he needs.
Wait, what was the job he interviewed for?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. That wasn't the right job?
He interviewed for Tennessee. He interviewed for I think he interviewed for the South Carolina job too.
But that wasn't the right job?
He's interviewed for certain jobs, but I'm saying though, if you go to South Carolina or you go to Tennessee, what's the chance that you make it out of 3 years out of there? What's the chance that you survive for 3 years?
The same chances in it. I mean, so yeah, I don't think these guys look. I hear what you're saying, I agree, but I don't think if I'm a head coach who is now, you know, I feel like I'm the man. I can go anywhere and I'm a coach. I'm gonna install myself. I don't believe Tony is looking at it and saying, nah, I'm gonna be done in 3 years. Now again, if you go Texas, I thought Charlie Strong should have looked at Texas, and when the booster come out and say, yeah, he probably a good coordinator, but he ain't our head coach. Well, there's a lot of things in that one. I thought he should have reevaluated some things and said, nah, I probably shouldn't take this job.
Yeah, but Charlie Strong took that's generation of money.
I know. Yeah, I'm just what I'm saying is there's different situations. Like, I didn't feel like Charlie Strong should have took that money. All money wasn't good money in that situation. But, you know, right, yeah, but I don't know. But anyway.
I mean, it's just like Willie. I mean, should you really have taken the Florida State job after Jimbo left?
Yeah.
Are you at Oregon?
Nope. You know, no, you could have. You could have. Boy, you would have never got fired from Oregon, winning however it is, and the way he was recruiting out there.
He'd have won the 7-8 games every year.
Stay out there in Oregon. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching them games. But, you have a hot seat. Get your dope quarterback 1 year. Have a hot season, and you know, end up in a New Year's Six
game. But at the same time, you know, Florida State was a dream job, and they gave him a generation of money too.
True.
You know
true.
What I'm saying?
I understand. Listen, I understand it. If it's your dream job, you got to take it. Yeah, I mean,
$20 million compared to.
I understand what you're saying, but again, all money ain't good money. And I think looking back on it, he still probably say, I probably should have took that. I should have stayed at Oregon. I'd have still made the same money and just look until it would have taken me a little longer to get there.
I heard that was a lifestyle thing, though. Like, it didn't like lifestyle.
I mean, it's Oregon.
Yeah.
They legalized meth, I believe, over there in or is that Washington?
They legalized meth. They decriminalized. They decriminalized drugs.
They decriminalize all the drugs. Right. It's one thing to listen. I'm not gonna get into this because that was a political topic. It's one thing to decriminalize weed. It's a whole nother thing to decriminalize meth. All right. Anyway, all I'm gonna say is what is it? Let's say Peach told us about Atkins the first time he was on the pod. He really did. He told us about Atkins. You're right. Okay. No, I was saying, man, overall, I believe this weekend was great. I do think they probably get another one. This weekend ain't over with. I think they probably get maybe one or two today and finish out this weekend really strong. Again, I think momentum, man, is super important, which is why after the spring game, I wanted to see some people commit. I wanted to see some players commit. But I said, nah, you know, and we even talked about it with Peach. Is that, you know, is this the right strategy? Should they be doing this? And we were hard on them. You know, we were hard on Peach. That episode, trying to figure out, you know, is this the right approach? You know what I mean? Having kids wait, or do you need to build the momentum now? If no other team, you need to build the momentum. It paid out for them in the long run, so you can't argue with the results.
Yeah, I think they're on the right track. I think it's just gonna take a little time, but I think they're on the right track. I think we get the bottom of the roster filled up pretty good, and I think next year you can go big dog hunting and. Willis Powers and Woody. I can see Woody and Powers. I don't know about Willis yet.
I was gonna say Woody's and Powers. Yeah, Woody and Powers too. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, T. Will said something a little while back where he was like, "Man, I want, you know, these recruits are good or okay, but I want to hit some of the big dogs." I think, man, the big dogs take a little longer. Outside of, you know, you get an occasional like Hunter who was, you know, loved the school and have, you know, his I think he said. One of his coaches is like, you know, like he thinks he's like a father figure to him or something like that. So, you know, you get something like that. But for the most part, those guys wait a little bit. You know what I mean? The big dog wait. Signing day. We got to make a big show of it. We got to do something. So I'm not necessarily worried about the big dog because I do believe, based on what they've shown, they're going to get some of them. So for me, I'm not yet worried because I do believe they're going to get them. I think they got very good momentum, very good positive vibes and positive signs that they're on the right track. They already got the inroads. They got the connections. They got enough big machines. And he said Alabama hadn't even cranked up his machine yet. I hear you, but I don't think we're shooting at the same targets, in my opinion. I don't think we're shooting at the same targets either. So I know we got some good guys, but I don't believe Maury Magnolia said Alabama hasn't even cranked up his machine yet. I agree. I just don't believe
I don't think we shopping in the same area they shopping in. I don't think we're in the same neighborhood.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, we're not shopping in the same stores. They in Gucci, we at Ross.
Yeah.
And you find some good deals at Ross.
You do find good deals at Ross. Ain't that wrong, Ross?
You find some good deals at Ross. You get some gems at Ross.
Yeah, you put on some J's or some of those, you know, short sets. You good.
Yeah. I saw me a pair of KDs in there one time. I was like, oh, look at, man, I'll find me a little gem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, but no. No, us in Alabama ain't doing the same work right now. So for me, no, I'm not even really concerned about Alabama. If we get into a head to head with Bama, then hey, we'll just chalk the L. But yeah, not Ross. I don't mean it disrespectfully. You know, Ross, like I say, listen, y'all have been to Ross, man. Y'all know what's happening. Y'all can find y'all a nice little fit in Ross.
All right, man. So let's get into this big what if.
Let's do it, man. Go ahead and hit us with the what if, man.
So the big what if. Is if Michael Jordan does not retire in 96, do the Chicago Bulls win the championship? I mean, I'm sorry, 98. That was 98, wasn't it? If he don't retire in 98, do they win a championship in 99? Do they beat the Spurs and win the championship in 99? Go. If Jordan doesn't retire. Now, here's the caveat. Phil Jackson has to come back, right? Scottie definitely was going to leave. Right? Scottie was definitely going to leave. There's no way they could keep Scottie because, for one, they didn't want to pay Scottie. And you got to remember that it was a lockout that year about the salary cap, right? And so I was looking at this, and Jordan had negotiated a contract a year before the lockout. No, 2 years before the lockout. 2 years before the lockout. And they wanted Jordan to take less money. So they would pay Scottie more, give Phil more, right? Jordan was going to do it, right? But then Jordan's agent told him, which David Falk told him, that you can't do that. And he was like, why? And he was like, well, first of all, you're the best player in the world, right? You just made top defensive player of the year, all pro, all this, you know, you had all these accolades, right? You just won a championship, right? And he was like, Jordan, if you take less money, the owners are going to go into that collective bargaining agreement in 2 years, and they're going to say, Michael Jordan only get paid this amount of money. Why y'all need to get paid this amount of money, right? So he said, Basically, you're going to mess the market up with guys like Shaq, Hardaway, I think, was at the time, mm-hmm. guys like Allen Houston, Reggie Miller, guys like that, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like, you can't take less money. So Jordan go back into negotiation, say, hey, I need to get paid X amount of dollars, right? I had to be the top player in the league. I had to get paid, you know, the most money in the league, right? So that's when they decided, but how are we going to pay such, right? All right. I actually did agree, well, because, of course, I'm a Scottie Pippen hater. Now I'm a Scottie Pippen hater. But realistically, I thought Tony Kukoc was getting pretty close to the same level as Scottie Pippen, right? Mm-hmm. So at that time, right, Scottie's getting old, got a bad back, you know. So I thought, yeah, you can get rid of Scottie. And they were going to trade Scottie on draft night for Tracy McGrady. So let's say they make the trade, get Tracy McGrady. He goes to Chicago, Tony Kukoc, Tracy McGrady, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Phil Jackson. Do they win a championship against the Spurs?
Easy.
And that was a shortened season, so Jordan would have had enough rest. 50 games is like no games for Jordan, because he played 82 all the time.
Let me, I guess, and this is going to be – Michael Jordan was winning. right?
Yeah.
When Michael Jordan had realized and hit that ceiling, I think you could have paired just about anybody with Michael Jordan. I mean, a healthy, solid piece with Michael Jordan, and Michael was going to get it done. Just period. He was going to get it done.
Right.
I think he had reached a level of competitive and a level, again, that nobody's ever done. Could T-Mac take Jordan's motivation style? Is a very good question, though. That's a very good question that I ain't really
but,
think about.
But you have to understand, though, T-Mac was a very driven guy himself now, because you got to think about it. He was playing with Vince Carter.
Yeah, but T-Mac also, are you, if I'm T-Mac, I'm a star as well. I got ego. Is he going to be able to take I'm using this for lack of a better term, the bullying that Michael Jordan was going to give you? Because Michael Jordan was abusive. Michael Jordan was a bully. Yeah. Michael Jordan was abusive, man. So, right, and that's what I'm saying, he was a high school.
Right.
This is an 18-year-old coming out of high school, even with all the talent in the world and fresh legs. A star kid coming out of high school.
T-Mac would have been on the bench, though. T-Mac would have been, like, the sixth man, right? He'd have been, like,
He was bullying dude. I can't even forgot dude's name. He was Burrell. Bullying him. He ain't never played.
He was bullying.
Yeah. John Burrell ain't never played. Right. That's just who he was. So it's like, right. Then you got Dennis Rodman, who's a big locker room. You know what's funny? I was coming in to tell you it was going to be easy, but I ain't going to lie. Seminole Morning, because you're right. That's a tough locker room to throw an 18-year-old in.
Yeah.
Because you got Jordan, who's a wow.
At that point, Jordan had
his own security. It don't matter how driven you are. If Jordan telling you a bum because you missed that shot, and you 18 years old, and Jordan your idol, you got all the posters on the wall, and Jordan calling you a bum,
right,
that may hit a little different. You know what I mean? At 18, than it do at 25.
So
yeah, and then you got Dennis Rodman who doing who knows what, painting his toenails in the corner. Right. It's some wild stuff happening. You know what I mean? Right. Wait. Dennis Rodman going to Vegas for the weekend, ain't coming back.
Right.
Can I go to Vegas for the week? I mean, you know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff going, not to mention the gambling and everything else that's happening. I can look at that and say, it sound good. Like, it's one of those things that looks really good because you think of T-Mac. You think prime T-Mac. But when you pull it back and think, oh, no, this 18-year-old T-Mac.
Right.
18-year-old T-Mac in that environment, I don't know, my man. I think they may win it just because Jordan is Jordan, right? And Kukoc, like you said, Kukoc had grown his game to a place where he was a solid number, or he may have been a number one to Pippen, being still the number two,
right,
which is why he averaged 15 points afterwards.
Right.
So Pippen had become pretty much a number one option. So him and Pippen, I don't think it mattered who you put with him. Him and Kukoc probably was enough to get it done.
Yeah, because you'd have had him, Kukoc, Steve Kerr. I mean, they had a retool a little bit. So T-Mac.
Yeah, but one thing we knew. Yeah, like I said, it might have ruined him. As opposed to it being better for T-Mac, it honestly might have ruined his whole. I watched that doc and I was like, Joe was a bully.
So T-Mac, like, they hit his stride into 1999 and 2000 season. That's when he started averaging 15 points. So it took him 2 years.
Right.
But he was in now, Toronto.
You don't have 2 years with Jordan who at the end of his career.
I think Jordan would have pushed him. I think. So
he would have pushed.
So this is what I think.
Right,
this is what I think. I think T-Mac would have been around Michael Jordan. So by pure osmosis, mm-hmm, he would have started working hard, right? He'd have been working to a different level, right? Because you'd have been watching Michael Jordan, so you'd have had to get in there and get it, right? So I think, mm-hmm, they win a championship, right? I think they win the championship 97.
I'm gonna give you the championship regardless.
This is the hard thing about.
I just don't know how it affects. I don't know how it affects T-Mac's legacy.
You catch it. Like, from the time Tim Duncan walked in the NBA, he was in his prime.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So you catch it 100%. Prime Tim Duncan. Like, who is guarding Tim Duncan?
Nobody.
Nobody's guarding Tim Duncan. David.
Nobody. Well, who was guarding Jordan?
Yeah, that's true too.
Nobody.
But I guess the problem would have been
what the rest of that roster looked like. And that's what I mean. You know what I mean? Who you know, Rodman's going to still be crazy and lock down whoever you had as your best defender. Kukoc was still going to get some decent buckets. I mean, T-Mac, even at 18, probably would have gave you 10 to 12 if he hadn't lost his mind by the end.
Yeah.
He was giving you 10. You know what I mean? He'd give you 10, 12 off the bench as an upcoming player.
But this is the crazy thing. Think about this, though. If they draft T-Mac, they win a championship in 97, 98, whatever. Then Jordan played 98, 99, I guess. I guess he'll play two more years, right? Then he retires, right? So then it's technically T-Mac's team, right? T-Mac got a championship already.
If T-Mac hadn't been ruined, T-Mac could take over that Bulls.
Right. Then you're talking about T-Mac, Kobe Bryant. Like, I think we look at T-Mac totally different. I think we look at T-Mac
as Bulls Lakers series look real good.
I think we looking at T-Mac and Kobe. Well, I think the Lakers win because, okay, Shaq is the most dominant force in basketball.
And that's all I'm going to ask you. Does he, or does he, I was literally just finna ask you, does T-Mac then turn into LeBron?
Right.
Because I think he going to bump that, he's going to bump his head against that doggone Lakers team every year, and that Lakers team going to wash him every year.
So I think, but I do think if T-Mac wins that first championship with T-Mac, and then you got Phil Jackson now that's probably there for the long haul, right? Because Phil Jackson likes a good situation. Everybody knows that. Phil Jackson picks good situations.
I'm going to be in the winning spot. Right. Yeah, put me in
so
the
he
spot,
got
yeah.
T-Mac, basically his next Michael Jordan. I think we look at T-Mac as like damn near top five, top 10 player of all time.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Here's, I mean, if he doesn't get injured,
could T-Mac run that offense?
Yeah, I mean, T-Mac was a point guard. Remember, T-Mac used to play the point for
For what I know about the triangle, a lot of players can't run it. I mean, we've seen a lot of players not be able to run.
No, that ain't true. These players towards the end, those players all got stubborn. Like Carmelo got stubborn. Like Kobe did it.
But think about it. Think about who we talked about who was successful in it. Two players.
Shaq.
Kobe and Jordan.
Shaq was successful in it. Kobe, Shaq, and Jordan.
Yes. Kobe, Shaq. That's it, though. Out of all the people who ran it,
everybody.
And my point exactly. Them dudes would have been, but that, regardless of whatever system you would have put Kobe, Shaq, and Jordan in, they still would have been three of the top 10 players of all time.
And that was the top staff in Chicago, man. I think they get the damn job there. That staff was pretty damn good with Clemens and Tex Winter and Phil.
I don't know if you beat Kobe and Shaq.
I don't know if you beat Kobe and Shaq. They'd have had to add a piece, but I mean, I don't think you beat Kobe and Shaq, but. It took Kobe and Shaq a while to win a championship, too, though.
Yeah, but who was beating when Shaq and Kobe figured it out?
Yeah, when they figured it out.
To stop Shaq? Because nobody in the league stopped Shaq.
But
when Shaq was Shaq, nobody stopped Shaq.
But
Shaq did whatever he wanted to
do. Brandon,
and he was, again, think about who got those MVPs. It wasn't Kobe.
Yeah.
Shaq got those MVPs.
But think about this, though, Brandon.
Those finals MVPs.
Kobe and Shaq probably don't figure it out without Phil Jackson. If he's still in Chicago, do they figure it out? Or do they go ahead and start arguing and fighting earlier?
They argue and start fighting earlier. Easy. No, they don't came to blows. That would have been a 2-year experiment. They don't came to blows. Yeah, that 2-year experiment. They'd have came to blows, and that'd have been in the Kobe and shit.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of different scenarios.
That's a big what if, though. That's a huge what if.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a huge what if. If they made the trade, if Jordan come back, they trade Pippen. Jordan stay for another 2 years. Phil stays. T-Mac get tutelage. Does T-Mac become
tutelage? Is what we call it. Tutelage is what we call it. What Jordan?
Hey, what don't break you? What don't break you? Make you.
Okay, so Jordan was giving Barrett tutelage. Okay, yeah, I'm with that.
Dog.
We can call it tutelage.
Dog. Prime T-Mac. T-Mac from 2000 to 2007. He averaged 26. 25, 32, 28, 25, 24,
21. Yeah, he was the leading scorer. He was what's his name? Luka and all his other players. He was those. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no. T-Mac was, but again, T-Mac and Pippen are hard to put in, when you're comparing the two, because I don't think their games are the same at all. I think their games are wildly different.
In Orlando, he averaged 28 points. In Houston, he averaged 22 points.
Yeah, and that was probably, missed injuries and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So, Kobe and Shaq definitely forced a trade. They don't make it. They don't make it as long as they do what I feel. Phil was one thing I will give Phil credit for. Boy, he was great at massaging personalities and egos. Yeah, no, he made sure you was going to get along. So,
So that's the big what if. We appreciate y'all boys coming through.
Listen, we appreciate y'all listening. Definitely.
Be sure to subscribe to the subscribe on iTunes, Spotify. I'm kicking off the new pod for the So What's Next pod, where we're gonna be discussing politics and social things. We didn't talk about the butt lift this week, but we're gonna get into the chicken wing thing debate next week. What's going on with the chicken wings? Why is there such a damn chicken wing shortage? And I got beautiful. Nikki as the co-host. It's a great show. Y'all should definitely check that out, man. I'll see if I can get that dropped in the comments. But yeah, definitely subscribe to that, man. And appreciate y'all guys for coming through.
Hey, yeah. Apparently, while we was on the line, Jared, while we was recording, Jared Willis announcement. Say he making an announcement today.
Oh,
so
we Willis coming through.
Yeah, that might be it. So let's keep this party rolling, man. I'm with it. Let's go. Mike got us.
So yeah, that's cool. Mike man. Got that's us. Cool. Let me see if I can grab this. So what was next part real quick for y'all? And actually, we had a big guest. We had Gail Bean from Snowfall come on the show. Gail Bean was cool as hell. She played Wanda. Yeah. She plays Wanda on the show. Like, really cool, good people.
Nah, listen, that was good. When you told me about it, I was like, okay, that's a good get, man. So
yeah.
But listen, man, we appreciate you. The link to the So What, What's Next podcast coming. I planned on recording actually an episode today, but situations. We'll push it. I'll push it back, man, and we'll talk about it later, man. But listen, we appreciate everybody who listened live. As always, this is the Listen Up Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. We out. I'm a sexy